Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And well, we were talking there about the Steelers expectations. So Matt, if I told you, if I gave you these numbers in the second half for Kenny Pickett, his 8 games started. He missed, remember, he missed a game against the Carolina Panthers. A win down there where Mitch Trubisky actually played pretty well. So after the bye week, Pickett had 8 starts, threw for 1,442 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a passer rating of 84. Also ran for 139 yards and a touchdown. He was very efficient in the second half of the season.
Very efficient.
And oh, by the way, the Steelers went what, 6-2 in those starts by Kenny Pickett?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So is there a question there?
I just
letting everyone know.
I don't know. He had 1 interception in the final 8 games.
I know. That's remarkable. And I'm searching for something right now, but to even back that stuff up, like, I think we can all concede his first 8 games, he was really unlucky with interception luck. You know, I mean, and they were losing, and I'm not excusing him. He made some bad throws. I mean, he made some bad decisions, but he paid for them at a pretty remarkable rate. Where we have mixed feelings about Pro Football Focus, but one of my favorite things they do is, you know, turnover-worthy plays. You know, when the ball leaves your hands, you can't, you know, it's not your fault when they get tipped or hits a receiver right in the hands, goes straight up in the air, and somebody picks it off. Well, he had only had that 1 turnover-worthy play, too. It wasn't like, boy, he got really lucky. He should have thrown 5 picks, but he only threw 1. You know, like, that's not the way that worked.
Yeah, and so I just look at what Pickett did last year. Again, the fourth quarter comebacks, the game-winning drives. I look at what he did and I think, okay, that this, he has a chance to be pretty good. I also look at Najee Harris's second half of the season, final 9 games of the year after post by Najee Harris. 9 games, 164 carries, 673 yards, 6 touchdowns, 17 catches with another touchdown. He averaged in the second half of last year, 18 carries for 75 yards. And also averaged 2 catches per game for another 13 yards. So basically averaged right around 90 total yards per game. That was just Najee Harris. That doesn't factor what Jalen Warren did in the second half of the season as well. This is a team that wants to run the football. I think they found the formula last year.
Oh, I do too.
And they found it. I mean, if you look at who they played in the second half of that season, New Orleans, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Baltimore, Carolina, the Raiders, Baltimore, and Cleveland, that stretch is very comparable to what this to who they are playing this year.
As which also, by the way, the second half of the season schedule was earlier. It was easier than the first half schedule, but it wasn't a cakewalk. I mean, you still got the Bengals and Ravens. I mean, it was not a ridiculous, you know, little sisters of the poor.
Yeah, everybody's pretending like, oh, they didn't play anybody down the stretch. They played the Ravens twice. They played the Bengals. The Saints were not an awful team last year.
Saints are not bad. Right.
You know, so it's not like they didn't play anybody. You know, that's who their schedule is this year.
I mean, that's the teams they're playing. I mean, that's basically what's on there, right?
I mean, I look at that first half of the schedule, Cincinnati, the Patriots, the Browns in Cleveland on a short week, the Jets, the Bills, the Buccaneers, Miami at Philadelphia. Like five of those are road games, and you played a murderer's row of teams.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. The one thing I was looking for on Pickett, too, finally, my computer was being slow, is I looked up EPA for all quarterbacks from week 9 on. He was 11th. I mean, he was right behind Tua, right in front of Josh Allen. You know, I mean, he's in the Dak Prescott, Tua, Allen, Daniel Jones neighborhood for the second half of the season.
I mean, so if he does that,
right,
he does that, you're in great shape. I saw something about somebody talking about the Lions. They're writing about the Lions as a team that's going to, you know, ride what it did.
Right.
Yeah. They went in their last 8 games last year, they went 6-2. Their last 9 games last year, the Steelers went 7-2.
Yeah. And it just so happens, I'm looking at it, Goff was number 1 on that list, actually, second half of the season EPA.
Right.
I mean, he was on fire. He played really well. I mean, the Lions could be good. I'm not, you know.
I think they will be good. Yeah. I'm going to pick them and win that division.
Yeah. I don't think the conversation is let's kill the Lions. The Steelers are better than Lions. But to me, there are some similarities in that if there were one more playoff spot, it would have been the Lions and Steelers. You know, like they were the just missed teams last year. But there's no similarities in that. And I like what both teams are doing front office wise, how they're building their teams, you know, line of scrimmage, stuff like that. But everyone's buzzing about the Lions. No one's really buzzing about the Steelers. And this stuff matters. The Steelers have won a few more playoff games than the Lions in the last 50 years. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
One of these organizations wins and one doesn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the other part of the equation with that, in that final of those, the two losses they had in the final 9 games,
mm-hmm.
they lost by 7 to Cincinnati. They lost by 2 to Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean when I look at that schedule, a 3-point loss to the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
a 4-point loss to the Jets, a 6-point loss down in Miami where they were throwing into the end zone twice in the final 4 minutes.
Yeah.
With the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got blown out. You know, the Browns beat them by 10 up there in that short week. The Bills blew them out. The Eagles blew them out. But those two teams did that to a lot of teams last year.
In Buffalo, in Philly, yeah. And they were two of the best 4 teams in the league. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of argument there with Kansas City and San Francisco. Maybe the Bengals are in that conversation. But they're two top 5 teams without Watt, with a rookie quarterback. And they're better than you, you know, and
right.
I'm a big point differential guy, but those two games really killed that. You know, when you look at things like that Miami game that was winnable, the New England game that was winnable, and back to the schedule slightly, if their AFC opponents last year kept them out of the playoffs, their conference record was really rough on them.
Oh, it was horrendous. Yeah.
Because of the Patriot game where you made this point Friday. Their conference games that aren't in the AFC North are as sweet as could be. You know, like I'd be shocked if a tiebreaker comes down to conference, you know, record that they don't get in.
Yeah, I just look at that schedule means so much, and we knew going into the schedule, you know, who they played, but when you play them is so much. I mean. You know, the lack of the short road weeks and things of that. Like, mm-hmm. again, I'll look at that. Okay, so they played Cleveland on a Thursday night after playing the Patriots.
Right. That's a tough order.
And that's a tough order to go up, hop on the bus and drive to Cleveland. It's really difficult to do.
Yeah, still physically reeling from the week before and no practices. And right, now you're the host of those 2 games.
It's a big difference, huge difference. And you're at home, you know, that week before that. I think one of those Thursday night games that they have, that the team that they play, I can't remember which one it is on the road the week before. It might be the Patriots.
I didn't think either was, but I would
have to. Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But either way. Yeah, it's just, I think the expectation, like, There's a feeling out there. Well, you got to be able to go out and outscore the opponent, or you got to score 30 points. No, you don't.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, like, you have to score
one more point than your opponent that week. Again, I look back, nobody in the NFL, not a single team, averaged 30 points per game last year.
Yeah. Do you think scoring will be up? I mean, I know that's a real sidebar. It was so down. I wonder if it'll get rebound a little bit.
Usually there's some kind of adjustment made by the league, whether they go back to, you know, hey, let's not call holding again or something like that.
I was worried about some of the ref stuff, yeah.
But if that's the case, I think it benefits the Steelers as much as it does anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not going to call hold. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Your guy, you know, if you've got guys that can win off the edge, which they do, they're going to win for whether they're calling holding or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like as little as they called holding, what was that, 2 years ago?
In 2020? Yeah, it was,
The 2020 or 2021?
The Steelers still led the league in sacks that year.
The Steelers led the league in sacks that year. Watt led the league in individual sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That
and
was
they
pre
Chiefs like leads either.
Yeah, and that was the year they lost Bud.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, he was out. He was missed half the season. Well, Highsmith right now is equal to what Bud was.
Better.
But yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's better. Yeah.
So okay. You don't want to call, you want to make holding legal again? Go ahead.
Yeah.
They still got guys that are going to get to the quarterback.
Four more, too, obviously. Right. I mean, Pickett will benefit and everybody will benefit. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of equal for everybody, I think. That was just a side note. I think that the league will want scoring to go up. They also,
I would think so. Yeah.
69 different quarterbacks starting games either.
Well, there's that too. There is certainly that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, the league as a whole, like, so people are going to look at the Steelers season as a whole from last year as well. You know, they only averaged 18 points a game. You can't look at, I firmly believe you can't look at their season like that. I almost looked like I look at it like they played two different seasons last year.
Mm-hmm. And the Lions qualify as well. I mean, there's some other teams out there similar. And you can look at the other way, too. Sometimes, you know, the Ravens are a really good example off the top.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Second half of the season was miserable. First half of the season was great. But if you can blame injuries, that's a little different. Where the Steelers, it's like, well, they found themselves. They got better. Yes, they played easier teams. But I also think the Week 13 team, the Week 13 Steelers beats the Week 3 Steelers by 14 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not only that, but the Week 13 Steelers beat the Patriots at home.
And the Jets. And
Miami. The Jets. And they win win at least one of those games.
Yeah.
Put it way. Maybe you don't win them all, but you win at least one of them.
I mean, everyone knows I'm into some of the side stats and metrics and whatnot. Like, their time of possession was so bad, you know, for the first month, 6 weeks, maybe even the full half of the season. And then they end up, like, almost leading the league in time of possession after starting in an unbelievably deep hole. You know, like, do you know how much that helps Cam Hayward and Najee Harris and James Daniels? And you know what I mean? Like, those type of things. Like, they were always on the field to start the year. Defense.
That's what I'm looking for. Like, that's the carryover I'm looking for.
And me too. Right. Like, that's sustainable. That travels.
Yeah. Because, like, so, you know, people are going to look at it. Well, the Steelers averaged 18.1 points per game last year. I can remember writing at midseason, looking like they were dead last. They were averaging 14 points a game.
Yeah.
You want to talk about digging yourself a hole and then having to dig out of it. You know, to increase your scoring average by more than 4 points
over the course of a 17 game season,
over the course, basically over nine games, you had to do some pretty good things.
That's like the time possession stuff. You know, when you're at the bottom of the league, and it's already week 8. Well, if you could get the league average, wow, that would be amazing, let alone getting near the top. That means you're holding the ball 38, 40 minutes a game time and time again. You know, it's hard to change those trends.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that scoring over the second half. They had 20 against the Saints, 30 against the Bengals, 24 against the Colts, 19 against the Falcons, 14. Both games against the Ravens were lower scoring. That kind of skewed everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you scored 14 there, 24 against the Panthers, 13 against the Raiders, but if you remember that night, it was like 0 degrees.
It was miserable. Yeah, that was
brutal.
Walking
from my car to the stadium was a chore. Let alone playing a football game in it.
Sure.
16 against the Ravens and then 28 against the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You compare that to what they did in the first half of the season, where they had more than 20 points in the first half of the season once.
Wow.
In the opener against the Bengals, and the Bengals had to turn the ball over five or six times for that to happen. Five times.
Right. Yeah. I do think the scoring, I was going to figure it out, but I was going to figure out how many points per game they averaged in those nine games.
I think I want to say it was like 22.
I'll say it has to remember be correctly. A point or two over 20. I mean, there's some that are under, and that was also worse weather. You know, I mean,
right.
You mentioned the Vegas game in Baltimore. You
know, that was also with Chris Boswell having the second worst season of his career.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you could easily add 12 more points for the season via kicker, or 15, which makes you go up 1 point per game, basically, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And I have no worries about Boz, you know.
No, I think he'll be fine. He'll be back.
Yeah.
But if you'd had a better start to the season, that game against Buffalo was just a killer where they scored 3 points.
Oh, right. But
if you have a better start to the season, you know, again, everybody's going to look at, you know, and I've already seen it. Well, the Steelers only averaged 18 points a game last year. Yeah, if you look at the season as a whole, that's what they averaged.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the second half, I mean, if they had the 22 points a game or so that they averaged, puts them almost, that's like the upper half of the league.
Right.
From last year's scoring.
Right.
I mean, the Dolphins, for all the offensive weapons that they have, averaged 23 points a game.
Yeah.
The Chargers.
Much better with Tua, but still.
Yeah. The Chargers had Herbert for most of the season, 23 points a game. The Packers had Aaron Rodgers, 21.8 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the league at this point. Like you said, I mean, there's some alarming stats of how low scoring was this past year. And again, I keep going back to the young offense. Like, it would shock me if they're not noticeably better, even if they have three season-ending injuries. You know what I mean? As long as they're not to the three worst guys you could have them to. But you could lose Jones, Freiermuth, and Harris and still score more this year than last year.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, just looking at this, Matt, these are the teams that scored 25 or more points per game. And again, I remind you, nobody scored average 30 points per game. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Lions, the 49ers, and the Bengals. That's it. 25 points per game.
25 or more.
That was 25 or more. Now, all those teams averaged 26 or more.
Yeah.
But nobody averaged more than 29.2. The Vikings averaged 24.9. They were just under that number.
Mm-hmm. So, still what harps with, I mean, what sticks in my head from Mr. Rooney is score more points. Score more points.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to do it. You know, they didn't just go, we'll invest $1 billion in four receiver sets and throw bombs left and right. I mean, you can do it on the ground and physicality and stopping the opponent and creating turnovers. So I don't think either of us are implying that.
Just do what you did and you'll score 25 points a game.
Exactly. But it is trending the right direction in terms of players getting better. What we saw their last eight games, you know, I mean, there's a lot of proof on tape, let alone the teams you're going to play. I absolutely think Kenny and the red zone offense will be noticeably better.
Well, that's what I was just going to bring up, Matt. I mean,
and Boswell.
Yeah. Bos is going to be better. They're not going to miss, I think, 11 or 12 field goals like they did last year. They were at 51.92% scoring touchdowns in the red zone. That was 22nd in the league.
Yeah.
If you get that up around to the mid to the mean, the mid, you know, the mid level, it's 55%, basically. Yeah. You get that up to 55%. That's scoring three or four more touchdowns over the course of the season.
Very
good. 28 points. Now all of a sudden you are averaging more than 20 points per game, and you probably win an extra game or two that you didn't win last year.
And there was, of course, as we've mentioned a couple times, there's All right. Well, it's third and eight on the 18, or fourth and eight on the 18. We'll kick it, Boz. We'll get a three. That one didn't go in. You know,
didn't
like,
go in, yeah.
It's so scoring, I do believe, will be better. I mean, there's no question in my mind about that. I don't think there'll be a top 10 scoring offense, but if they're 15th ish.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10th best scoring offense in the league last year were the Jaguars at 23.8 points per game.
Hmm.
That's a low bar.
Of those top 10, how many were playoff teams? I bet it's 8 or 9.
Everybody but the Lions.
And they were right with the Steelers, one off. You know, if there were 8 teams, they would have been number 8.
Right. I mean, if you're talking the 15th best offense in the league scoring-wise last year, was the Packers at 21.8.
Okay.
I mean, I 3 points per game.
3 points per game, right.
Gets you, you know, over the course of the season, gets you into that. And again, they pretty much averaged that over the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. No, they did. I mean, part of me's torn a little on this conversation because I asked that question about the playoff teams because I still think the best way to the playoffs is being a top 10 offense. I mean, I still think the league trends that way heavily. Can this be a top 10 offense? I don't know. I mean, it could be a top 15 offense. Can it be Chiefs, Bills, Bengals level? Probably not this year. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean they can't go to the playoffs. You know, I mean, but can they get there in 2 years as a top 8 offense year after year after year after year? That I absolutely believe. You know, I mean, you started from nowhere, and at the bye week, you really didn't get anywhere past that. And then you took a huge step forward to top 10 offense perennially, year after year, in my opinion, from the bye week towards the end of the season. Now, if you can just take a normal size step forward, you're going to be in that neighborhood.
Yeah, you're going to be in the range. Here's the other side of the coin of that, Matt. So the top 10 scoring defenses. You had the 49ers at 16.3, the Bills at 17.9, the Ravens at 18.5, the Jets at 18.6, Dallas at 20.1, the Bengals at 20.1, Washington and Philadelphia at 20.2, the Saints at 20.3, and then you had the Steelers at 20.4.
Okay.
So if your defense is better this year, if you can get that, if I'm giving up 19 points per game, but I'm scoring 22 or 23, I'm probably winning a more games than I'm losing.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about the defense, I was going to get on that road too. Like, I think you look at it two ways in terms of them even creating points. Like, do we think their pass rush will create more sacks than it did last year? I lean towards yes, because of Watt and all those years leading up to last year, they were super high in that category. Are they going to recover more fumbles? Yes, they're not going to be 30
without a doubt, yeah.
But they probably won't need to lead interceptions either, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
year with turnovers.
They ended up plus 4 for the season. They were plus 4 with, and they had 23 total takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
30
only fumbles.
Yeah, 20. That the Cowboys led the league with 33 takeaways. So they were 10 off of that. They were kind of league average there. And they were league average despite leading the league in interceptions.
And being last in fumble recoveries. Like
last in fumble recoveries. I mean, that's – so the Cowboys had 17 fumble recoveries.
Yeah. But Steelers had like one or two or something.
They had three. Three for the season, which the Jets had 4. The Dolphins, the Rams, and Titans had 6. Mm-hmm. If you double that total, if you get to 7 or 8, which is more than, you know, what you typically get.
Right.
Exactly. You're in much better shape. You don't need to lead the league in interceptions. It's nice to be able to do so.
Right. And you probably won't again. I also think that creating turnovers, there's a randomness to it. There's not a sustainability to it. But I do think pass rush is the number one component. I think scheming guys up is another component to it. But also, more so in terms of this fumbles versus interceptions conversation, I think recovering fumbles is even more random than creating interceptions.
Well, you know, I don't think it was a so Alex Highsmith led the league in forced fumbles last year.
Right. But they just didn't happen to fall.
They just didn't happen to fall in the Steelers' direction.
Yeah.
TJ Watt has traditionally forced 5 or 6 fumbles a year himself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get 10 forced fumbles out of your 2 outside backers,
right.
And chances are you're going to recover half of them. I mean, that's just the law of averages.
Yeah. They were. That's kind of where I was going with it. Like, I would feel more confident with the team leading the league in interceptions the year before and last in fumbles than the other way around. Like, I'm really not putting faith in, this team's a 70% fumble recovery team. That'll keep up next year. You know, like, that's more random than, boy, they're going to create turnovers via interceptions. They're not going to lead the league in interceptions, but I doubt they're bottom five. And fumbles, roll a 32-sided dice, and who knows where you'll be, you know?
Yeah. So you had the Cowboys had 17 fumble recoveries. The Giants and Jaguars both had 13.
Okay.
That led the league.
Why did the Giants overachieve? You know, why did they get in the playoffs? You know,
they only had 6 interceptions as a team.
Did they?
On defense.
So they were kind of the opposite, which would scare me if I was.
Which was tied for last in the league. The Jets and Raiders had 6 each. Well, I wouldn't feel good about that.
No, right. They don't have great secondary play. They don't have ball hawks. They don't have Minka. They don't have the pass rush, you know.
So I just think that's interesting. And I expect Kenny Pickett to take a step forward. Or I shouldn't even say a step forward, but to continue down the path that he started down last year in the second half of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Continuation of that. There's an expectation there that he's going to be better.
And something you kind of opened the conversation with last segment was people aren't talking about the Steelers as a sleeper and there's not a lot of time to buzz. I bet when Warren Sharp's album comes preview comes out and the Football Outsider preview comes out and the people really start to look at the numbers of some of the weird things that happened to the Steelers next year, all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to find their betting odds at 8.5 games. It's going to be 9, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's going to be 9.5. Like, people are going to catch on that, wow, this team was a lot better in the second half of the season than I remember, you know?
And, they play a similar schedule to what they played in the second half of last season.
And they're not going to recover 3 fumbles over the course of the year. You know, like, they'll get to 8 probably.
Yeah, right.
Oswell's going to get back to his average. And
yeah, everything. I mean, when you have a track record like that, or you know, in the case of the fumble stuff, that's what the norm is. Things return to the norm. They just do. They return to the mean. Hey, you can subscribe now to The Drive. Every episode we do is available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you find your podcasts. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.